Well, good afternoon. We are assembled for January 13th, 2011 Senate meeting. And we start with some informational items. The first one is an update on Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies. Dean Sudol is Ms. Professor Sifonis to make presentation. Senate had indicated or requested Dean Sudol to come back to the Senate and help us with the update on the program. Ron, if you could help us or your delegation to someone. Thank you.
Cindy Sifonis, Professor Sifonis is here to help me. I'm going to turn it over to her in just a moment. But there were four questions, and I'm going to do the fourth one and then have her do the others. The fourth question has to do about department chairs and tenure track faculty. And I'm not sure I understand the question, but I'll try to answer it before I give it to her. Like all proposals, this came through the College Assembly, which has representatives of every department. And it's a broadly representative body of the college. It has about 35 members, and it passed that group unanimously. The program is built on existing minors, existing courses that are in the catalog. So I don't understand the importance that the steering committee puts on department chairs' involvement with this and the need for submitting letters by department chairs. It seems to me not relevant, unless I'm missing something. So that may be, and that could be a follow-up question, but Cindy Sifonis is going to be the director of the Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies. She was a member of the committee that wrote the proposal over a period of 2 years and saw it through our Committee on Instruction, numerous revisions, a lot of contact around campus, and then through the Assembly and into the Senate last year. She is Associate Professor of Psychology, and she is a cognitive psychologist whose specialty is creativity. And she's a devoted student of interdisciplinary studies. She has been very active in the corporate world as a consultant and as a recipient of very large grants for very large corporations, where she has advised corporations on how they can have various domains of specialty work together in an interdisciplinary way. So she's the ideal person to be managing this for us. She teaches one of the most interesting courses in the College of Arts and Sciences. It's a course called Creativity and Innovation. It's a foundation for many, a number of majors and other special programs. We had a search in the college for a person to lead the Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies. And we had an interview process and a small search committee, and Cindy was the one who got the job, so I'll turn it over to her.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Before the dean leaves.
Dean Sudol, there's a question if you could stay for a minute.
Yeah, you said you didn't understand what came from Senate steering, and I believe this is a question that came out of Senate planning. In the proposal for the Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies, there was a statement that faculty would be obtained from other departments, and statement was made that this is a problematic kind of way to recruit faculty because it was not clear to us that department chairs would be willing to let their full-time faculty go in exchange for a visiting position or some other line. And of course, according to the contract, it is the department chair that makes teaching assignments. So that was the nature of the question.
Okay, I can answer. Departments do that a lot. We have lots of interdisciplinary programs. The Honors College is the premier example. The College of Arts and Sciences provides 16 out of 20 staffs, 16 out of 20 courses a year for the Honors College, the equivalent of 4.5 full-time positions. And routinely, I request replacements for those people, for that contribution that the college makes. Eventually, that will happen. We also have women's studies, environmental studies, religious studies, Judaic studies, and so forth. All of these draw upon our existing faculty. And department chairs are shrewd enough to know that when they make their requests for new positions, that they highlight those contributions that they have made because it's viewed as a contribution. So department chairs will make sure that everybody knows that they provided so many courses to the Honors College, Women's Studies, and so forth in their request for new positions. So for the most part, I believe department chairs see this as an advantage because they can spread their faculty around and get credit for it. The need for faculty, it's just the two basic courses, and as Cindy will be explaining, she herself will be teaching them.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. So I was thinking about starting off with the other questions on there and just sort of working my way through the list. And so one of them was the students served by each degree, who participated in the discussions, putting the program together, and the agreed upon the outcome. I think the main concerns, my understanding of the main concerns, would be the overlap or the perceived overlap with the Bachelor of Integrative Studies. And so the people that were involved in that discussion was the director of the Bachelor of Integrative Studies, which was Scott Crable, and then Susan Aubrey via Yukui in there. And so through those discussions, changes were made, and they were actually agreed to and are actually part of the catalog copy that's going out right now. And so one of those things would be that one of the issues was the minors, the pairing of the minors that would go together to form the core, the central core of the students and majors in the Bachelor of Liberal Studies program. Those are going to come from the College of Arts and Sciences with extremely rare exceptions. So for the most part, I mean, we have a wide variety of minors. It's going to be, it gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of providing that core for the Bachelor of Liberal Studies students on there. So it's going to be contained within the College of Arts and Sciences. Also, all of the students are going to, they're going to have that foundational core to start off with, which develops to a certain extent a cohort and provides an interdisciplinary sort of an understanding of the different disciplines within the College of Arts and Sciences. Then also how questions, you know, that are common to a lot of those disciplines, how they're asked across those different disciplines and how you find, how they're answered, the critical thinking that's associated with each of them. And so those first two courses would be the LBS 100 and LBS 200 level courses, with the 101 being here are all the different disciplines and sort of talking about interdisciplinary studies and how they're conducted. And then also, I did make some, like when we were putting the catalog copy for those things through, the general idea is that the professors that are going to teach that, I'm going to be the one that starts off teaching it, and then we're going to have a lot of faculty development. There's a lot of money in the program or in the budget for faculty development just for things like that. How do you teach these sorts of courses? And how do you, you know, help develop those courses? But one of the things was that it was going to tie in with the college themes. And from me, personally, if I could do that, if it ties in with the college themes. But one of the other things is that you get people that enjoy teaching or have an interdisciplinary focus. For myself, it's creativity. And creativity is studied in a wide variety, a wide range of disciplines. And so the way I saw it is you go through each of the core areas, the six areas of the College of Arts and Sciences, and you talk about that area, how questions are answered and asked there, and then you have readings and things of that nature that tie in with creativity. So the one topic provides a stream, a coherent stream throughout it, so they could say, okay, this is the same topic. This is how physical sciences addresses it. This is how the humanities address it. This is how arts and literature address it. So that was one of the ways that it was being brought together. And then at the 400 level, you have the students themselves, after taking their courses, tying it all together, coming up with their own projects, and that would be in combination with their advisors in the two areas or so, or the interdisciplinary concentration that they initially choose to start off with. Any questions about that particular part right now? No? Okay. Also, I kind of addressed this here. The courses in year one, it's going to be ramping up, and so I think it's the LBS 100 course, which is the interdisciplinary course, that's going to be the first year. This would be coming up the fall 2011. And so I would be the one teaching that, and we would be adding more, like the 200 level course and the 100 level courses would be the following year afterwards. And I'm basically what I'm doing this semester is getting everything up and running. I've got two of four members that have agreed to be on the executive committee. We're going to be putting together the policies, the procedures that go along with it. We're going to be helping, they're going to be helping me identify faculty who might be interested in teaching the LBS 100, LBS 200 courses on there. And then in the future, the seminar level courses that would be being taught. And then I think Ron Sudol answered the question about how they would, people would be taken from other departments to actually teach those courses. And I think it's going to be in a manner similar to the way it's done for the Honors College and some of the other courses where faculty donate their time to be able to teach a particular course. And the monies are set aside to compensate the departments for those, for releasing a professor for that particular course. And then the last question that I have on here that people were wondering about would be the proposed graduate students. So there was five proposed for that. It's not going to start off at five. You know, maybe a single graduate student to start off, and they would be doing a lot of the things that I need to do to actually, me and the executive committee need to do to actually get started, help develop the programs, help to basically do assistance and recruiting, and maybe advising to a certain extent, you know, and recruiting incoming members. And then also maybe faculty to the extent that they have those connections, bringing it in. In the future, they'd be, I see them as being graduate assistants that would help actually to teach those courses, especially the 400-level courses, which would be the research ones and the seminar courses, in which case they could serve as TAs and then help with the research and help with the instruction in those situations. On there, but like I said, that number is further off into the future.
Thank you. Are there questions for Dr. Sifonis? Let me start with that creativity innovation slogan.
Yes.
Did the development officer borrow from you? And I think the fundraising, there was some slogan like that, innovation and.
Well, maybe it was. I don't have it copyrighted yet. Maybe I should have. I don't know about that.
I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
Any questions for her?
I'm actually excited about that was one of the reasons I was really excited about doing this. From working out in the field, and then also I see it within psychology, things are becoming more interdisciplinary. We do a great job at the university level of specializing and training specialists, and there's always going to be a lot of need for that. But one of the things I see a greater need for is also this ability to bridge disciplines, straddle disciplines, not necessarily know all of all the different disciplines, but a lot of these students are going to have concentrated cores, maybe straddling between the two disciplines. And I see more and more businesses out there, and like I said, even within disciplines themselves, where that's an important ability. And it seems like a lot of the new ideas and the innovations and things like that that are coming out now are being driven by these interdisciplinary approaches. People are coming at things from different angles and seeing threads in there because they have these two different sorts of outlooks on it, and they know how to draw those things together. And that helps provide some insights that when you're trained within a specific discipline, sometimes it's hard to step outside of that. And so these students, I see it as, I'm excited about it because these students have, a lot of students have these sort of interdisciplinary interests. They're not, like I said, it's a fairly small, the group we're talking about here is a fairly small, highly motivated group, but that they're not well suited for that specific discipline. They've got broader interest. And so this will teach them how to bridge those disciplines. And I think they're going to have, give a lot of value when they get outside of the university and their ability to do that crosstalk. And I've seen a lot of businesses looking for students that can actually do that, that have a tying together of these various disciplines on there. So I'm pretty amped about it.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Thank you for the update.
Okay, thank you very much.
One general comment for all of us. There is an increased interest by funding agencies in natural sciences, arts, humanities, performing arts, you name it, in interdisciplinary programs. When you get a funding request, they always ask that you have more than one fine discipline. Some by design actually cannot be done, but most are requiring now that the grant proposals have interdisciplinary in nature. And so I encourage us to look into those as we apply for grants from external agencies. Internally, I think Dr. Jackson pointed appropriately, I think we need to deal with the issues how we share resources and how we compensate for, as Dean Sudol said, when you loan, it's not a good term, but when you share your faculty in another program other than your own, how are you compensated? I'm looking at that aspect as well, but I think you will see more and more of this required of agencies and state government also. I am in the Provost Council. This discussion is always a priority that we should consider collaboration between disciplines, schools, and college, not only within the units but across schools. So I hope we keep in mind as we develop our program. I think it increases your ability to get external funding as well. Let's move on. The second item is informational, is the updates. There are searches going on, some one of your interest. I have mentioned earlier Kresge Library, School of Nursing, and Vice Provost for Research. All these three searches are underway. The chairs have been identified. I met with all three search committees and directed them to assist them in their process. I stay out. The search committees bring the candidates, and some of you will be requested to participate as the candidates are brought to our campus for meeting and seminars and so forth. I hope you'll participate because they're all important positions for us. Good news to share with you, School of Engineering should be a very happy school. The state government has funded a capital outlay bill that allows us to get a $30 million for our proposal for engineering design building for School of Engineering. I think this, under these times and economic hardship, this is very, very good news. The fact that we just got a building just before this for School of Nursing and Health Sciences. So the issue would be coming before the board and president. You'll hear more about it. But at the moment, it is something to enjoy. I think it's a tribute to the work of our faculty and staff in School of Engineering for their work. They have been spread under a number of buildings as colleges. But this is at least a step towards consolidating their efforts. So I congratulate all in the School of Engineering and the campus. There is there's an update for you. You may have heard about President Rossi had an update in which he sought your opinion. Some of it is on his president website. And if you could send your comments, if you know something that was discussed with you, or if you read what is on the website, if you want to send some comments and help him with the suggestions as how we move forward. He also had a retreat last week in which some of the major issues were discussed, how we need to present information to the campus, get the entire campus input, and then we construct some strategic plan given what is going on in the state and in the nation. For example, it is not only the state, because of change in government at state and house in Washington, I think our research community is going to be under some stress because they already announced they're going to cut budget for NIH and NSF. That impacts Oakland University and others. So I think we need to be very cognizant that we position ourselves to protect our programs and so forth. With that, we do the roll call.
Okay. Wallace Anderson?
Here.
Susan Aubrey?
Here.
Marianne Petnarski?
Here.
Keith Bourbon?
Here.
Louie Shamra? Vivian Chen? Mark Doman?
Here.
Andrea Ice?
Here.
Robert Fulberg?
Here.
Donna Free? Peter Frick? Louis Galian? Frank Giblin? Annette Gilson, Kevin Grimm,
here.
Janet Graetz,
here.
Paul Graves, Kevin Grimm,
still here.
You're still here.
It's hard to recognize him without that hat.
Sorry about that. Okay, cross it.
Do I get two votes on
yeah.
something?
Like
that?
No.
If the steering committee approves, yes.
Oh, Jerry Grossman?
Here.
Layla Gessus? Kelly Hay?
Here.
Kenneth Hightower? Francis Jackson?
Present.
John Kim? Serge Crook?
Here.
Michael Lacha?
Here.
Todd Liebert?
Here.
Frank Lepkowski?
Here.
Thomas Lamarb?
Here.
Paul Licker?
Here.
Barbara Mabee?
Here.
Charles Marks?
Here.
Jay Meehan? Fatma Mili, Karen Miller,
here.
Ken Mitten,
here.
Sean Moran, Ram Orsbach,
here.
Tom Pedroni,
here.
Barbara Penpres, Michelle Piskulich,
here.
Michael Polis, Joe Rieger,
here.
Cheryl Riley Doucette, Joel Russell, Darlene Schott-Bear, Linda Schweitzer. Laura Shartman.
Here.
Steve Shablin.
Here.
Michelle Southward. Anna Spagolo.
Here.
Ron Sudol.
Here.
Ann Switzer. Sally Tardella.
Here.
Ron Tracy. Julie Walters.
Here.
Karen Wells.
Here.
Lynn Williams.
Here.
Susan Wood.
Here.
Okay, and there is a quorum.
Thank you. And we welcome our steering committee member colleague, Dr. Karen Miller, after her sabbatical. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. We have approval of the minutes for December 2nd, item 2010. Anyone makes a motion of? Dr. Michael, I shall move. We approve the minutes of meeting of December 2nd. Anyone seconds? Laila Gusso seconds. Any discussion, amendments, suggestions? Hearing none, all those who are in favor of approving the minutes of December 2nd, 2010 meeting, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So approved. Thank you. We have a pending business from the last, and that is one is the statement on academic freedom. You may recall, let me quickly give you a background. You have heard about it a couple times before. There was an effort on the floor of the Senate to create a new statement of academic freedom. And we noted after it was passed by the Senate, there were already in existence an academic freedom statement that was passed by the Board of Trustees. The Senate then authorized a committee to look at both documents and merge them into a single document and then send it to the President for the Board of Trustees approval. As soon as the committee that consisted of two faculty and two staff member or administrators put together unanimously recommendation to me, which we shared with the Senate, there were some issues and concern expressed by a member of the Senate Steering Committee. And at the last Steering Committee of the Senate, we discussed that, and those issues were resolved. So what you have now a document that is in concert with the opinion of the Senate. And this merges the two documents, one in existence and another one that was constructed recently. And so as soon as we rule on this issue, then I will resend it. Initially, when it was presented to me, I sent it to the President. But then when we were leaving the room, I had heard some concerns, actually, from one of the Steering Committee members. At that point, I said, if they are concerned, we should discuss them. And I think those have been resolved. So we are ready to move on this. And Mark Doman will make the motion.
Motion resolved that the Senate endorse the Oakland University Board of Trustees joint statement on academic freedom.
Any second? Jamie Han. Any comments? This is the first reading. I think it is posted, and if there was a typo, we'll correct it. But by and large, the statement is on board, and you have time to discuss it. And then after we pass it next month, I think it'll move through the process. Hopefully, we'll put through the board agenda before the semester is over, so that it's accepted and put into the books. Thank you. Under the new business, we have a motion from the Steering Committee to recommend approval of early education and intervention education specialist degree, and Dr. Jackson will make the motion.
On behalf of the Senate Steering Committee, I move that the Senate recommend to the President and the Board of Trustees approval of a program leading to the educational specialist degree in early education and intervention.
Thank you. Anyone second?
No second is necessary. It's a motion from a committee.
Committee, okay. Professor Julie Rick-Stonin will make presentation so the Senate is a little more informed about the proposal. Right at the podium.
I'm told a 10-minute summary, so I'm just doing highlights, correct? Is that correct? Well, the early education and intervention specialist program development started quite a while back, about 2006, actually previous to that. It grows out of national and state changes in the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, particularly focused on Part C, which is birth to three, and Part B, which is the 3 to 5 program. There has been a huge national movement just through IDEA at all age levels to have children more included in general education classrooms, inclusive classrooms. Fairly recently, within the last year, NAEYC, the National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Division of Early Childhood of the Council for Exceptional Children, don't you love these long names, wrote a joint position statement about both the inclusion of young children in early childhood programs, but also about professional development standards and guidelines. So that's sort of the literature review background. We, in addition to that, I could go on for weeks about the literature of the importance of early intervention. So that is, there's a very strong history and background of research to support early intervention in and of itself. In addition to national movements, the state of Michigan has also been really focusing on ways to help include young children in general education classrooms. What that means in terms of Oakland in this particular degree is that in the current and in the future there will be a need for leaders who can administer those programs, who can guide those teachers at the classroom level towards these new state guidelines. Michigan just approved a new early childhood endorsement. It's now called the ZS. Some of you might have heard of it as the ZA. That the new standards, which all colleges are going through review right now, will essentially prepare an early childhood teacher to be an early childhood special ed teacher in an inclusive classroom. So there's a great deal of need for programs to support that. We did our needs assessment included a survey primarily of our special education master student graduates and our early childhood master's graduates. We had a really pretty high return on that, very positive response to doing that program. But what was interesting, and I think, you know, going back to the comments about interdisciplinary programs, is that we did not anticipate quite as much response from people from social work, physical therapy, occupational therapy, infant mental health. There's quite a bit of interest from a lot of disciplines, because anyone who works with young children and their families in family-centered practice essentially could benefit from this education specialist degree. The other thing that we did as a needs assessment was we did pretty quite a few interviews with leaders in the field who would potentially be hiring people with this degree to find out if they felt like that would be a benefit for a person to have that degree in the field that they were in. So these were people in special education and early childhood at the state level or county level who hire people in those positions. That's sort of the background. So there's actually was quite a bit of evidence for us to move forward to develop this program. There's 36 credits, both focused on theoretical and practical applications, with a capstone course called Applied Research and Leadership. Because throughout this whole degree and consistent with the university's goals and vision is a real emphasis on developing leaders who can take our communities, Oakland County and the state, as well as nationally, to the next level in these programs that are emerging. So that leadership portion is very strong throughout the coursework, particularly in the collaboration course, the law and policy course, and of course the capstone course. 36 credits of that degree program, that specialist program, also can, not 36 credits, a subset of credits can be used as a cognate in the early childhood education PhD program as well. And there are two courses that would be cross-listed. There's also the development of a new PhD program in special education started, so it's very feasible that also in the future that ed specialist, those courses or a cognate of that could move into the special education PhD.
Thank you. You're within time. Thank you. Please stay if there are questions for a few minutes. Any questions, guidance, comments?
I have one sort of procedural Please. Question. Unless I missed it, looking through the materials, the memo that I saw from the University Assessment Committee was in April and was tentative. And I was wondering if there had been any follow-up to that.
We have a memo from the Assessment Committee, I believe, with final approval.
Okay. Could you? If I may. This is the first reading.
Oh, okay.
So if you could produce that or share with the Senate next time. So there's no urgency, but please do note.
That would be great.
One thing I did forget to say about the development of the program itself is that every course was developed collaboratively between, and we're in a sort of a unique position with special education and human development child studies in the same department, but every course was developed by a team cross-disciplinary, so it really is a blended degree that will focus on early childhood and special education.
I think this is my non-professional opinion that it's a very important program because what we are seeing countrywide, particularly the situation in Arizona, if you have a program where teachers and counselors, advisors can note early on some issues that could be corrected. I think it's a very important program in that regard. I don't know if I'm connecting right with your program, but early intervention could be extremely important in some situations. And I hope that is relevant to what your program.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you. So we'll have another discussion next time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We move on to item number 2 under new business. That's a motion from Steering Committee to recommend approval of Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing, and Professor Karen Miller would make the motion.
Moved that the Senate recommend to the President and the Board of Trustees approval of a program leading to the Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing.
Thank you. We have a Professor Susan Hawken who will make the presentation.
In fact, both of us are going to be making this presentation, so I just want to introduce Ed Hayworth-Heppner, our senior creative writer, who's going to give us a little bit of an overview about creative writing nationally and here at OU in very few minutes, and then I will come back and be really fast about the program.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you all. If you don't know, for those of you who don't know, creative writing began as a discipline in the 1930s at Iowa Writers' Workshop as graduate program courses were beginning to be offered. And in about, over the next 30 years, there was some small proliferation of creative writing at the graduate level, but it wasn't really until the 60s that courses in creative writing began to be offered at the undergraduate level. In 1965, at the inception of the Associated Writing Programs, the AWP, which is the parent organization now for creative writing, in 1965 there were 13 colleges or universities who offered creative writing at the undergraduate level. There are now 50 times that many colleges and universities who offer undergraduate degrees in creative writing, and that's especially in the last 15 years, that's just increased dramatically, so that Oakland is taking advantage of what has become the most overwhelmingly the most popular program development inside of English departments in the country, and also takes advantage of our assessment reports, which in the last two cycles have indicated that our English majors, the single thing they request more often than anything else from our department is increased courses in creative writing. Anyway, in any event, there are now 500 colleges and universities across the country that offer courses in creative writing. 159 of those offer undergraduate degrees in creative writing, and about 80% of those undergraduate degrees are BAs in creative writing, not BFAs. That is, their undergraduate programs, which combine, as our proposal does, strong components of creative writing or studio writing workshop classes with academic courses, so that our program proposal is in line proportionately with program programs that exist at Johns Hopkins and at Purdue and at Miami of Ohio and at Carnegie Mellon. It's a program which requires fairly equal amounts of academic and academic work and literary writing. The entire purpose of a creative writing degree, as it exists inside of an English department, being to provide for students who are interested in genre work, particular genre work, in our case, fiction and poetry writing originally, later on as the tracks are able to be implemented in screenwriting and television writing. It provides courses for those students to learn not only how to do written work within those genres, but also to understand the traditions and the backgrounds and the theories behind various kinds of, in one instance, for instance, poetic writing and poetic theory, so that they're informed writers, both from a craft level or a craft point of view, and also from the point of view of theory and history as regards a specific genre. That's the intention of the program. We've got strong student support for it. That's a little bit of the history of it nationally and where we are currently. Saginaw Valley is the only other institution close by that offers an undergraduate degree in creative writing. All of the other universities in Minnesota offer in Michigan offer undergraduate courses, but we would be the first institution in our particular demographic area to offer an undergraduate major in creative writing. And if the national statistics are any indication, and I'm sure they are, really, also judging from our student interest, the program will attract a lot of interest amongst students who are interested in English but also interested in writing in one of the literary genres.
Thank you.
Just a little bit of background about how we came to propose this, I think, is fairly important. Early in the summer of 2007, before I came to be chair of the department, the dean's office very strongly urged us, in fact, to propose a BA in creative writing, given that we had developed the courses that had existed up to that point, and we were teaching those courses in poetry, fiction, and at that time in creative nonfiction. So over the course of the next 2 years, the committee worked very, very hard, and in conjunction very often with the dean's office, to put together a proposal. And at that time, we did look at several other kinds of possibilities. We decided not to do a concentration because concentrations have proved to be so cumbersome at Oakland, and those concentrations that tend to be most popular, such as film, women's studies, end up becoming BA programs for, I think, pretty obvious reasons. No one really understands what a concentration is outside of this university, and it really places a burden on students to complete concentrations because they require so many additional hours over a minor. We also considered for a very short time a minor, but again, that did not seem sufficient in terms of preparation for our students, because we want them, one, to be able to get jobs in the real world, and two, for those students who wish to go on for MFA or PhD work in creative writing, and there are increasingly a great number of PhD programs in creative writing, a BA would really be the only way to go. I guess I would have to say that I believe we submitted the proposal to the CAS COI in the fall of 2009, and we received an anonymous. Okay, that was an interesting slip.
So
okay,
then this is
yes.
On record.
Yeah, indeed. We received actually unanimous approval from the Assembly on April 13th. So we are here before you today to give you a kind of overview. And I guess the last thing I'd like to say is that the department believes, and certainly prospective students, I hear from them quite often, that is students who aren't even enrolled here, as well as our current students, are extremely interested in this program. They're very interested in getting a BA. They're not interested in kind of taking a hodgepodge of creative writing programs, and so we really firmly believe that such a BA will, in fact, draw students here. It has a lot of appeal. And I think for many audiences as well, including non-traditional students who tend to find time later in life to devote to programs like creative writing. Again, as Ed said, as the only university within Southeast Michigan to offer such a degree, it would seem to me that this program clearly highlights Oakland's visibility and prestige as a quality undergraduate institution. Yesterday at President Russey's address, he highlighted the vital and key role that the liberal and fine arts will play in OU's Creating the Future II strategic plan. Obviously, a BA in creative writing will prove to be an important and necessary part of that plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments, suggestions? Dr. Jackson.
Yeah, Senate Planning, I really like this proposal, and we unanimously approved it as well. We only really had one major problem with it, and I shared this with Kevin Graham, that you have fiction and poetry writing and screenwriting, but nothing about erotic literature. But Kevin Graham assured me that there were plenty of people in your department that if someone wanted to write erotic literature, they felt they would be able to handle that, yeah, including Kevin's own private stash. Other than that, we had no problem with this. Yeah.
Thank you, Francis, for your support.
I wanted to wake everybody up.
Thank you, Francis, for blowing my cover.
I would also add, and I did want to say this, that I'm very appreciative of the response we've gotten through the governance process, and particularly for the alacrity with which the Senate committees responded to the proposal. We're very thankful for that, and I'm also very thankful for the continued support of the English department in moving this through the process.
Thank you. Any question or any confessions?
Hand? Question over?
Please. Comment? Yes, please.
All right, then. As someone in a...
Please identify.
I'm sorry, I'm Kelly Hay, and I'm in communication studies. As someone from, I think, a sister field, we're very texty over here, our students are going to benefit from this as well, because you're going to teach screenwriting, and you're going to teach media studies-oriented writing, and we don't have that. And our students are desperate for more creative courses, because what we offer is very journalistic, and they're more interested in creativity. And creativity is something that's very important in our college, I've learned today. So, go team.
Well, and I would just add to that that in terms of the sort of interdisciplinary spirit of today, the future track that we hope to implement in the very near future would be in cinema and TV writing, in screenplay and TV writing, which our students, our cinema students, are absolutely clamoring for. And this is clearly only going to become much more significant. And as Kelly is saying, there's this big, massive kind of conglomeration of something called new media, and that's where we all work into it, communications, art, film, rhetoric and writing. We're all really kind of involved in that. So it seems to me there's some pretty exciting complementarities that are possible as we develop this kind of a program. I think that's going to be one of the tremendous benefits of it.
Thank you. Dr. Meehan.
Hi, Ed. Jay Meehan, Sociology and Anthropology. Ed, you'd mentioned that you decided on, or the department decided on, having a BA as opposed to a BFA. Can you just maybe briefly distinguish what the difference is and the significance of that for your department? Because that seems to be important.
Sure, I can. Thanks, Jay. I think I mentioned that of the 159 undergraduate institutions that offer undergraduate degrees, about 80% of those are BAs instead of BFAs. So there are 33 programs nationally that offer 159 BAs and 33 BFAs. So that the BA program is the more popular program for creative writers. It typically doesn't involve, it has usually a course or two, maybe 10 credits, 8 to 10 credits fewer in creative writing workshop courses, and it tends to be heavier on the academic end. This is good for Oakland for a couple of reasons. One, when I came here in 88, I was the only creative writer, and I wasn't hired primarily as a creative writer. I was hired to do contemporary criticism and then also to teach our creative writing courses, which were two. There are now four of us on staff who teach creative writing. A year and a half ago, we hired our first specifically creative writing, primary track. But the history of it is, and our new hire proved this way too, the history at Oakland is that we have PhDs who are teaching creative writing. So although it's the national norm to have these BA programs that have strong academic components, partly to gain academic respect for creative writing or for an arts program, but also because there's an increasing amount of graduate programs, especially even PhD programs in creative writing, and they much prefer the BA students who know poetic history and the romantic poets, or they know about theory, or they, in addition to just a large cartload of BFAs who have done a lot of writing. Those folks tend to do well in they tend to move a little bit more maybe into advertising or some, but if you look at the stats, the BA is, in terms of the professional organization, it's just a much preferred degree. And because we're situated the way we are, this odd kind of, we sort of kind of backed into creative writing in a way. I mean, we were committed to it, but at a small level. And with the insistence over the years that we keep hiring PhDs and that we have PhDs teach all our lit courses, we're kind of uniquely placed to be able to take advantage of a program that has a strong academic component anyway. It puts less stress on new hiring at the beginning of the program. We can run the program, the fiction and poetry tracks, with the staff we have now, with only the addition of two new courses to the department. Later on, if we add the if we get a staff request, if we get faculty to add the screenwriting and the television writing track, then we'll need like six new courses. I mean, that will be a different kind of a thing as it takes shape. But right now, because of the way the program is structured, because of the fact that we have these PhDs teaching lit courses and creative writing courses, we're set to kind of get it running right away. Even the new hire we have, Jeff Chapman in fiction, who was a creative writing hire, he teaches more lit courses than he teaches workshop courses. And that will tend to be the norm as the program develops anyways, because it is really, it has this sort of two-pronged or this double-sided kind of, the way most BA programs do.
Thank you. Any other questions or clarifications that you may want? If not, thank you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are ready for good and welfare. If you want to make a comment or suggestion in general, yes, Dr. Piskulich.
Really quickly, we're in the process of taking nominations for the Phyllis Law Gagosian Award for the year, and we would really encourage nominations of women or leaders here at Oakland University who have contributed to the well-being, the success of women here and in the community. You can forward any nominations to me, Susan Aubrey, to Adrian Bass, Joe Rieger. We'll be happy to talk to you about it as well. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other announcements, information? If not, any interest in adjournment? We are adjourned. I see too. Thank you.